You're listening to the Night Demon Network. Go to nightdemon.net/subscriber to unlock more exclusive content.
And welcome to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. I'm your host, Nesbitt, and it's been a long dive back in history over the past weeks to Night Demon's first major tour. And today, we dive into the tail end of this chapter of Night Demon history, the 2014 Extermination Tour. So the 2014 Extermination Tour, 45 dates in 53 days for a young Night Demon. From one coast to the other and back again with stops everywhere in between. Just three guys in a van, along with fourth honorary member, merch guy, one-man crew, and journalist Andrew Bonzal. And that's where we pick it up this week during a 15 shows in 15 days string of gigs with Andrew Bonzal's tour blog.
Stone cold crazy. Day 43, November 10th, downtime. After the Columbus gig, we hung out in town for another day as Night Demon rightly decided not to play the Kansas City show. The brutal routing from Ohio to Missouri to Ohio for the Akron show would have been a 1,400-mile round trip in 2 days, perhaps too taxing on our bodies, wallets, and vehicle. The Indianapolis show had already been canceled by promoters, so we had four vacant days ahead of us. FYI, the Pittsburgh show was also canceled. Sorry. Aside from the worst lunch of the tour at White Castle, which each of us got fairly close to puking straight out, our stay in Columbus was fruitful, and we got lucky with pleasant and sunny weather. Temperatures in the 60s. These were the best weather days of this whole tour. Besides Columbus being a college town meant a vibrant crowd walking the streets. During the day, I also visited a record store called Magnolia Thunder Pussy, easily the best name I've ever come across for a record store. A guy we met at the show on Sunday night was kind enough to let us stay with him overnight, and we left his house early Tuesday morning with three more off days to kill. I left Columbus with a certain degree of fondness for it. Day 45, November 12th, 2014. Customers wanted. We spent Tuesday night in South Amherst with Vic Stone from the band Vindicator and his two cats, and I was able to overcome my fear towards that creature to some extent. For Wednesday and Thursday, Vic hooked us up with a place to stay in Lorain, Ohio with Marshall Law, his former Vindicator bandmate. But we cruised through town for a few hours before getting there, and somewhere along the way, it was impulsively decided that we should go to a bar. We found a place called Shirley's. It looked desolate and had a sign outside that said, "Customers Wanted." We had to be buzzed in to enter the place. We were the only customers there. There was no house music, and all they had was an old school jukebox, which Jarvis promptly jumped on, feeding four quarters into it and choosing some ancient songs, including Pink Floyd's Money. If you're ever near Lorain, Ohio, you must visit Shirley's. Tell them we sent you. Marshall let us stay with him for two nights and one whole day, his house proving to be a cozy shelter for us with his two cats and Siberian husky dog. Sleeping with those cats gave me yet another opportunity to overcome my fears. Being in Purple Heart territory on Veterans Day was also an interesting little tidbit. I got to experience snowfall for the first time in my life, and quite honestly, I can't understand why anyone would have anything positive to say about it, because I'm definitely not a fan, not in the very least. Granted, the sight of snowflakes falling from the sky looks heavenly at first, but when you have to scrape several layers of snow off your vehicle, walk on snow-covered sidewalks, and your vehicle slides on the roads where you're driving, it turns into instant hell. Snow is no fun. Day 47, November 14th, Midnight Demon. After so much downtime, it was finally time to wake up with a show on the agenda. Dustin had used this time most productively to finish season 4 of Breaking Bad and educate our hosts about the ways of Waze. Waze meaning the app, the driving app, the navigation app. Oh, he says it here. An underground social media app for the road with maps of all kinds of information on traffic, police vehicles, construction zones, road kills, toll roads, and whatnot. Doing the bulk of the driving on this tour, Dustin has been enjoying this reality video game, picking up massive number of points for reporting things that assist other Wazers. He has already achieved Night Wazer status and is extremely stoked about it. On the drive from Lorain to Akron for the gig, we listened to a live recording of one of Metallica's 30th anniversary shows from 2011. The portion with the Diamond Head covers is quite possibly the worst piece of recorded music I've heard in my life. But being strangely fond of bad covers, I was really enjoying Metallica butchering the hell out of those legendary Diamond Head songs. Let me jump in here. So we love Metallica, and I think what Andrew means by this, I remember Sean Harris, the original singer of Diamond Head, singing at these performances with Metallica and also with Brian Tatler, the original guitar player and founder of Diamond Head. I think Sean Harris was a bit out of practice. I don't think it was a Metallica thing. I think it was a Sean Harris thing. And he seemed really winded when he did the shows. I just don't think he was, you know, he hadn't done any gigs in a long time. And it wasn't, I mean, for me, I was really stoked to just see it happen, to see all those guys on stage together playing those songs. So, but hey, we all have our opinions about things, right? Okay, he goes on. We were the first ones to arrive at the Empire and last to leave, setting ourselves up for the show within no time, as the venue had its own backline, strobe lighting, and fog machines. Being a Friday evening, we hoped for a good gig, but as we've discovered through this tour, it really depends on where you are, and a Friday doesn't guarantee a good turnout. Thankfully, Akron was a great outing for us and for Raven, as the venue got fairly packed. People enjoyed themselves and spent money on merchandise. Getting to see Raven for the first time in 5 days actually felt really good to me, and I was singing along to every word when they were on stage. They do an all-covers medley to close out their set every night, and their version of Judas Priest's Genocide, faster and at a higher pitch than the original, is so gloriously awesome that I can never listen to the Priest version again without thinking of Raven. Quite a few in the audience were seen wearing shirts representing Ohio Metal Warriors Midnight, which brings me to the most memorable moment of the gig from Night Demon's perspective. One of the members of Midnight purchased a Night Demon vinyl from me. I had no idea who he was until later, when he handed a Midnight CD to Jarvis, telling him, "Here's a CD of my band, check it out." To witness Night Demon's name spreading amongst metalheads, musicians, and industry insiders alike in this manner is a true vindication of the band's efforts. Side note, yeah, that was a good meeting. it was good meeting Athanar from Midnight. We became fast friends. So that was 10 years ago. And I've managed that band for the last five. So there you go. Okay, he continues on. It was 3:30 a.m. by the time we packed up, loaded out, and left to head to Cleveland, where I needed to be dropped off to catch a bus to Chicago to rejoin the tour on the 16th after skipping the Toronto show due to reasons mentioned in the previous part of the tour blog. I was extremely upset about having to miss that show, but it is what it is. The scene in Cleveland in the early hours of the morning with snow covering everything, no human in sight, and snow shoveling trucks running through the town certainly felt like hell on earth, almost as if we'd entered a war zone. We pulled into a Denny's restaurant with a giant all-nighter sign outside with spooky icicles hanging down from it. Even this supposedly all-night Denny's was closed. That's just how cold and dead this town was at that time. With nowhere to go, we had no choice but to sleep in the van. Day 48, November 11th, to Toronto and back. My apocalypse. They dropped me off at the bus station around 8 a.m. and we parted ways as they went on for the border crossing and into Toronto. Based on what they told me, Night Demon had quite a successful gig in brutally cold but righteously metal Toronto. Although it was far less eventful than Vancouver, members of the band's Cauldron and Action came out to attend the gig and Night Demon stayed over with Action after the show. I, in the meanwhile, had a very post-apocalyptic hangout in Cleveland for the entire day, and through my attempts to spend the day at McDonald's and Starbucks outlets, I learned that walking on the streets when snow has melted into slippery ice is definitely harder than walking on them covered in snow. Finally, it was time to board the mega bus, which turned out to be a smooth 7-hour ride to Chicago. An hour or so before reaching Chicago, the bus halted at a Hardee's travel stop for refueling and let the passengers out for 20 minutes. Brent's favorite snack, white cheddar popcorn, was the first thing I noticed there, and I grabbed it immediately. But upon walking back out after 15 minutes, I was absolutely mindfucked by what I saw. There was a Hardee's of the exact same shape and size directly across the street, and the bus wasn't where I left it. For a couple minutes, I thought I missed the bus and somehow come out on the other side of the street, but the bus returned after a few moments later and safely took me to Chicago, arriving promptly at the scheduled time of 15 minutes past midnight. Day 49, November 16th, legend in disguise. After getting off the mega bus, walking a total of nearly 2 miles in bone-chilling cold wind was an educational experience in itself and already makes me appreciate LA weather even more than I already do. I stayed overnight with Chicago metal stalwart Bruce Lamont. He's in Yakuza, Corrections House, and several other bands and projects. The next day, he took me to the Empty Bottle for brunch, and I enjoyed the food and the vibe there quite a lot. I then took public transit to arrive at Reggie's Rock Club for the gig and reunited with Night Demon around 6 p.m. Raven and Manila Road took up most of the room at the merch table, and all I was left with was a little corner under a staircase. But every venue presents its own challenges, and in this aspect, and as the merch guy, you just need to be really flexible. I set up shop and somehow made it work. American heavy metal veterans Manila Road were also on the bill for this show and were slotted as main support. So Night Demon went on earlier than usual at 8:30. Before them, local openers Ancient Dreams put on a more than decent performance. And then Night Demon absolutely destroyed the Reggie stage, playing to an audience comprising of some that were already familiar with the band from this year's Ragnarokker gig at the same venue. Their Riot cover has been unanimously popular everywhere on this tour. Their version is so delightfully heavy, it makes me want to wreck everything around me every time I hear it. I couldn't see much of the show from my position under the staircase, but it sounded crystal clear. Dustin's drums, which had an extra pop to them on this occasion, he had downsized his kit from what he started out with, and the result has been great. Raven rocked the stage. My biggest complaint about the Ravens set is they play only one verse of Stay Hard. Somebody please tell them to play the whole song at least once, because they sure as hell don't listen to any of us. I'll interject here. I mean, look, I guess I understand when you have such a big catalog of music. Raven did do kind of like a medley of some of their songs. A lot of people tell me they really don't like medleys. I don't know how I feel about them. I kind of do. Some songs are too long and too repetitive. It's kind of a cool idea. I've had an idea of doing some kind of a Night Demon medley of a certain album, but I'm quickly shot down when those ideas are brought up. So let's continue on here with Andrew's blog. During the Night Demon set, my heart skipped a beat when I noticed somebody in the audience, a gentleman in his mid-40s wearing a beanie hat with his long hair tied back. It was none other than the legendary Jeff Walker from Carcass, who played in Chicago the night before. After the set, he came up to the merch table and asked me questions about the CD. He returned after the end of the show and bought it. That, ladies and gentlemen, was my fanboy moment of this tour. But even then, I managed to stay professional, didn't mention Carcass at all, and didn't ask him for a photo because he was there as a regular dude, not as Jeff Walker from Carcass. So I'm going to interject here again. We ended up touring with Carcass in 2016, and it's for reasons like this. You have to go out on tour, you have to play shows, and you just never know who you're going to play in front of and what that leads to. And most times it's not an overnight thing. It comes years later, you know, where somebody said, hey, I saw you then and the opportunity for X is now. So you have to really plant those seeds. On with the blog. After our most successful gig of the tour, we drove to a friend's place to stay overnight and rocked out to Dire Straits' Sultans of Swing along the way. The song really hit the spot for all of us, so to speak. Jarvis started singing my name, my real name, not Andrew, over the lyrics and guitar solos, and has been doing it a lot since then. As it turns out, my name is so musical that it fits into just about any song. Yeah, we did tease him a lot with that song. I had a great 24 hours in Chicago and most definitely fell in love with the city. And if I ever had to move from Los Angeles for any reason, out of anywhere we've visited on this tour, I'll have to pick Chicago. Day 50, November 17th, Iced Earth. We set out in the early afternoon for the next show at the Brass Rail in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hey, I was right. It was the Brass Rail. Okay. Jarvis left behind a coffee mug with some water in it in the van. It was completely frozen when he tried to empty it. Temperatures were in the teens for the whole day with heavy snowfall. We reached the venue around 7:30 and ran back and forth to load merch and gear just to stay warm. But it was a challenge as the ice on the road made it very slippery. For a Monday night in a small town in Indiana, the show turned out to be great for everyone involved. Local openers Demon Wolf were very impressive, and the other opener, Valhalla, comprising two members of the band Zephaniah, whom we saw in Columbus, were the only band with keyboards we've come across on this tour, and their music was interesting as a result. The icy loadout after the show was no fun at all, but was another educational experience for us California residents. Overall, this has been a hard week for me. I've been able to see Raven and Night Demon only thrice in this period, and I've realized that I'm so used to the show now that I actually miss it on off nights. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be slightly depressed once this tour is done, but until then, there's still 2 weeks to go, and I'll bring you two more parts of this blog series. Stay tuned. So from Chicago, we were on to Detroit, a place called the Token Lounge, kind of a big room. I vaguely remember this one. We have played there a few times. Then we were off to Syracuse to Max Bad Art Bar. I do remember this show. There was a crazy blizzard that happened. And on the way there, we were turned around because roads were closed. I don't know how, but somehow we did make it to this show. The Rods also played that show. Legendary New York three-piece band. So it was pretty cool. Three-piece bands that night. Pittsburgh, PA at Dead Horse. I don't really remember that gig much. Brooklyn at St. Vitus, I vaguely remember that. Philadelphia, we played at Dobbs, which is a legendary venue. Like Nirvana played there. It was kind of a strange place, but it was cool because Dustin's family came out and we went and stayed with them. So that was nice. And then we went on to Baltimore to the Metro Gallery, Richmond, Strange Matter. And ending the tour in Raleigh, North Carolina. I do remember, and I'm not going to say who, but somebody from another band booked three of these shows. I believe it was New York, Baltimore, and I don't think it was the Philly show, probably the Richmond show or the Pittsburgh show. But it was very sad. We ended up getting kind of ripped off. I think there was $300 to split between both bands for those three shows. And those shows were very well attended. So it was a very sad note to kind of end on. But we did end in Raleigh, North Carolina at a club called the Maywood.
the Maywood show. The Maywood show in Raleigh, North Carolina. Last show of the tour with Raven. And yeah, they had this sign that said no cover songs because they weren't allowed to, like, the venue wasn't allowed to have bands play covers.
There was a sign in there that said absolutely no cover songs. And so what that means really is there are rights organizations like BMI is one, ASCAP is another, CSAC is another. Those are the real big ones in North America. But basically, if you have a bar that has a jukebox or a band or live music, you have to pay monthly licensing fees to these companies. Every time somebody's music gets played somewhere, the publisher of that music is entitled to some money. So it's only fair, but apparently this place did not pay its dues. So they weren't allowing any cover songs, which is ridiculous because, you know, we have our own publishing company as Night Demon. We own the publishing rights to our songs. So we're entitled to money when our songs are played live. So who cares if you're playing cover songs to somebody else? Like, we're not even, you're ripping us off. We're not even getting paid for playing our own music. Anyway, we played our show and Raven decided, you know, a lot of times at the end of a tour, you know, you do pranks on the other bands or whatever. I can't remember if they pranked us or not. I'm sure we'll find out in Andrew's blog. But one thing that they did do is that their last song of the night, they brought us up on stage for a cover of Born to Be Wild. So the bar owner was pissed. The club owner was pissed. But what's he going to do? We were already in the middle of the song. So we broke that.
Raven just throws up a little middle finger and ends up playing Born to Be Wild at the end of their set, which they hadn't played that the entire tour. Unless they did, maybe a handful, I don't know. They may have played it, but I don't remember them doing it. But they ended up playing it. We went up on stage with them and had a good old time. They were like a band that like played a prank on us first. You know, it was like the first band that we went out with that came, I forget what they did to us, but they came up on stage and like messed with us somehow. I don't know what they did, but they were kind of clowning around with us, you know, kind of like a little tour prank. So then when they were on stage and played Born to Be Wild, I don't know if they called us up or not, but we ended up going up on stage with them and rocking out. And it was a really cool moment. You know, I felt like we had, you know, started as strangers and became friends. And that was really neat to be a part of and to enjoy that moment on stage with them.
After that, that ended our tour with Raven. We did go back to Atlanta right where we started the tour and played at the same bar, the 529. And that was interesting. I think there were some tensions between us and the band. I think we were just burnt out. And I think that show was maybe a bit phoned in, and I was not happy about that. That's not what we were there to do.
And then we end up going back to Atlanta, Georgia, because after the Raven tour, we had to get back. You know, we're in North Carolina. We have to go back to Ventura, California. How are we going to do that? We got to book shows. You know, we had to, we ended up playing some gigs on the way back. Atlanta was the place. We ended up playing the 529 bar. We're in Atlanta. We're burnt the fuck out. It's a lot of time with each other, a lot of energy spent, a lot of figuring it out. But here we are again in Atlanta. It was bad. Like, we started to lose the crowd. And it could have just been an off night. I don't know. And and me being the new guy, I can only say so much at the time. But I was pissed. I was fucking pissed. Because we're giving it all we got. Yeah, we were exhausted. But that's the difference in the mentality. You know, what are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go? You know,
I don't know if I handled that correctly, but I do remember that. And then on the way home, we had to drive all the way back across the country from Atlanta, all the way back to California. We stopped off at Kit Ekman's house for Thanksgiving and had a nice Thanksgiving dinner with him and his family. Got to have some bonding time with him. It was great.
Towards the end of the tour, suddenly I realized that, oh, wait a minute. After the Raven tour ends, they're going to do a one-off in Atlanta the night before Thanksgiving. Well, I live in Mobile, Alabama, which is about a five-hour drive from Atlanta. Why don't I invite them to my house for Thanksgiving dinner? Because nobody should spend Thanksgiving by themselves, right? I got this crazy idea, and I never thought in a million years they would actually say yes when I invited them. But they did. And so Thanksgiving Day, they showed up at my house in Mobile. They met my parents. They met the people who were my in-laws then. They met my brother. They met all this extended family. They had Thanksgiving dinner with us. They stayed the night in Mobile. And I think pretty much that night is when it was cemented. If you want to like look at a moment in time where it was like solidified that, all right, we're friends for life and I'm in your corner and your camp for as long as I'm alive. I think I knew it that night. I knew my life had changed and that it had changed for the better because Night Demon was always going to be part of me and I was always going to be part of them. I think they probably felt it too that night. And 10 years later, here we are in exactly that place, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful and I'm super thankful for it. But anyway, this is all supposed to be about the Raven Tour, and those are my memories of the Raven Tour. So thank you for listening. Love to Night Demon. Drink from the chalice.
Drink from the chalice. guys so very fucking much, man. This is our first time here. We're very happy to be here on this Tuesday evening.
Well, that's it for this week, as we are nearing the end of the behind-the-scenes stories of Night Demon on the road in 2014 on this extermination tour. As always, be sure to check out the subscriber section on nightdemon.net. It's a huge archive of Night Demon material. There's tour posters, audio, video, photo galleries from this tour and many other tours. Tons of bonus content. You listen to the podcast, why not see and hear the companion material that goes along with it. More info on becoming a subscriber on nightdemon.net. And until next week, this is Nesbitt signing off. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. Head over to nightdemon.net, click on the subscriber tab, and sign up to access exclusive weekly bonus content. If you would like to donate to support the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast, you can do so through PayPal at paypal.me/nightdemonmetal. Additionally, if you have not already done so, please subscribe, like, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All hail, Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. This is Dusty Squires chiming in to tell you about my brand new signature sticks from the London Drumstick Company. I've dreamt of having my very own drumsticks ever since I was a wee lad, and LDC made that a possibility for me. Founded in 2016 in London, England, the birthplace of heavy metal, the London Drumstick Company has trailblazed a path through the music industry and taken the drummer world by storm. When I met them for the first time, they knew their product was going to withstand the beatings of a Night Demon show. They took the time to work with me on getting everything just right. The balance and weight of my sticks are the same no matter what, and the durability is, bar none, the best I've ever had. I know my sticks will last through the set night after night. I'm truly honored to work with a company that caters to their players the way LDC does. Their innovation and attention to detail is what separates them from the rest of the stick makers out there. Their custom stick sleeves are unbelievable and really make the entire presentation complete. Wait until you see the design they came up with for me. It blew my mind and was a surprise to say the least. They have all kinds of amazing swag, including hoodies, t-shirts, drummer shorts, drum keys, stick bags, towels, face masks, practice pads, and much, much more. Even if you're not a drummer, you can be a part of Demon history and order my brand new signature sticks direct from their website. How cool is that? And to top it off, the London Drumstick Company are giving an exclusive offer to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. Go to londondrumsticks.co.uk and receive a 15% store-wide discount using promo code DEMONSTICKS. All capital letters, no spaces, DEMONSTICKS. DEMONSTICKS. I can't thank everyone there enough for the opportunity to be a part of their family and for them trusting me with their amazing products. See you metal maniacs on the road very soon. And yes, the wood chips will be flying.
Greetings, boils and ghouls. This is your comrade, the Crypt Keeper here, reporting dead from the Sanctuary of the Strange. Tonight's macabre myth is a fright-filled feature, one overflowing with monsters, madness, and magic.
Visit our website at monstersmadnessandmagic.com to stay up to date on all the dark dealings within the Sanctuary of the Strange. Enjoy the show.
Hey metalheads, I'm Mark and I host Metal Forge. Let me tell you about the show. The Metal Forge features the best underground metal from all over the world. We spend every week with a different artist with interviews, in-depth conversations, and most of all, the music. We also feature audience interactivity where you can submit your questions to the upcoming guests. New episodes are out every Friday at noon Eastern Time at MetalForgeRadio.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Want to know what's going on in the world of music? Then tune in to the Nothing Shocking Podcast, a non-genre-based, all-ages-friendly rock and roll program. Join us weekly for interviews with all your favorite rock stars from the mainstream to the underground. You can find us at nothingshocking.libsyn.com or anywhere you download podcasts.
Okay, metalheads, you've been complaining that there has not been a channel that plays all of the heavy metal videos from past, present, and future for years and years at this point. Well, that time is over. Heavy Metal Television is back. HeavyMetalTelevision.net is the website. Go there. You can see videos playing 24/7, 365, all the time. All the best from the old school, the new school, and everything in between. Check it out, HeavyMetalTelevision.net. It is where the metal is.